Ephesians chapter 1. It was here at this church in the basement some 30 years ago. I had an experience with this passage. Adrian Rogers was the preacher I was listening to and watching on VHS. For you children, that is a big contraption that we used to watch movies on. And I was watching Adrian Rogers' speech, message to the Southern Baptist Convention when he was the president, again, years and years ago. And his take, if you will, and I believe it was the absolute biblical take, but his take on this passage opened my mind up to who God is and how he sees us and how he wants us to go in this life with encouragement and confidence. If we're not careful as Christians, we believe that our principled belief system makes us a doormat. And even though there is a place for that in the area of humility, there really couldn't be anything further from the truth as to how you carry yourself. My father used to use the expression, hat in hand. And that doesn't apply to how you and I should be in our daily walk. We shouldn't go to pride, that's not what I'm trying to say, but you should have a biblical confidence that you can do what God has called and asked you to do. And that's what comes across in Ephesians chapter 1. He opens with this illustration, and those of you that have been here for many moons, you will know it, but this is a true story. A northern pike was caught and was put in a tank big enough to make him feel at home and acclimated. And they were doing a test, if you will, on the psyche of a fish and what could be, what the fish could be conditionally taught to do and what it couldn't be conditionally taught to do. And so once the pike was acclimated and they waited a few days, a big predatory fish like that can go anywhere from a week to a month without eating and still survive fine. So they waited that allotted time, and then they put a cylinder in the middle of the tank, and they released his feeder fish in that cylinder. He went into action. But of course, once he zeroed in on one and hit that tank, they literally said that he kind of went back in the water and did the Chester Cheetah guy. And he zeroed in another one, boom. Zeroed in another one, boom. And he did that just over and over and over and over until finally he settled to the end of the bottom. And he never moved again. They lifted the cylinder and the fish were loose and it went across his eyes. He never made a motion again. He starved to death. He made up his mind, I'm never going to have another fish, because of constantly hitting up against an unseen reality that kept him from getting that fish. Now watch this. If you and I are not careful in this daily Christian life, we can hit up against our flesh. We can hit up against the devil. We can hit up against the world over and over and over. And if we're not careful, we settle in the bottom of our aquarium and just live out the rest of our lives, maybe never saying it with our mouth, but with our actions, never going to be the person God has created me to be. And there couldn't be anything further from the truth. Would you please stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word, Ephesians chapter 1. Today is an attempt to encourage our mothers and every person here. And I want to echo Brother Todd. In my humble opinion, any given Sunday, a crowd this size, someone here that does not know Jesus and his forgiveness of sins. We're going to give an invitation in just a few moments. And we would love for you to come. And we'll send you as someone gender appropriate, and they'll share the gospel with you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Did you notice that? He didn't say successful in Christ Jesus. He said to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Now there it is. Everything you need to live this Christian life, you have. God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. We're pretty prone to say, I just need a little more faith. I just need a little more courage. I just need a little more fill in the blank. According to this scripture, you have it. Just need to possess it. Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Remember, we're seated in Christ. God sees the finished product. Verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him. If you're struggling with security, and we all do at some point in time, stop it, because you've been chosen. God chose you before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. So, every one of us struggling with sin on a daily basis, you and I can be holy and without blame. How? Because Jesus Christ paid the price. He's forgiven your sin, and he will live that holy, blameless life through you if you and I will allow him. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So in those three verses, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. We've been chosen. We have now been adopted. And look here in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He accepts you as you are. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Father, we come to you begging you to make the truths of these words a reality in our lives. In Jesus' precious and holy name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. So, asking myself as I do every year, what do mothers need to hear today? I want to try to present this message as a frame picture, as a framed picture. First of all, what is in the frame, or what is in the picture? In other words, who am I seeing in the picture, or who am I referring to? Well, a godly mother. A godly mother of children that she desires to be raised as godly children. Now, you notice there, I did not say that she wants to become godly children. That's up to them. Mothers, the only thing you can control is how you raise them. The rest is on them. Well, how to know if you're a godly mother? This is obviously Brother Ben's opinion, but it comes from the Bible. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. You have worship times with the Lord. You seek him in his word. Your greatest desire is to bring him glory in your life. Now, not trying to be mean, but too many of us see that description as outlandish or out of reach. It is not. And I'm begging you today to seek the Lord until he is the apple of your eye. And obviously I'm talking to everyone, but it's Mother's Day. So a godly mother is who? Is who? Well, who is it? Well, what's the picture framed with? The godly mother is the one who loves the Lord her God with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. She spends time with Jesus. She radiates Jesus, if you will. But there is a frame involved. And she's striving to do those very things while she is living, if you will, within this framework. What is the framework? Number one, this is one side of the frame, the world. Think about this. Immorality. Moms, is it easy raising godly children in the immorality of this world? No. We were talking Wednesday night in the BRH about some subjects that, wow, the things that social media are challenging our children to do, the things that some of our school systems are teaching our children to be. We're facing the immorality of this world, the world's system to be conformed to. Christianity is being attacked like never before. From where does life begin, to sexual orientation, to gender confusion, to open borders, to radical abortion laws, to save the planet, to social media, to Islam radicals, to evolution, and the list could go on. The only way to describe this, church, is an onslaught. The world has released an onslaught upon us. That's one frame side that this godly mother is trying to raise her children. The next frame side is the devil. The world's attempt to destroy every biblical principle and institution would be enough. But we have an enemy of the soul that perpetrates these attacks. And he tries his best to bring these attacks to the home front. Your home front. John 10:10 describes this so well. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. Church, you should constantly make yourself aware you're not doing this by yourself. There is a devil trying to destroy you. The next frame side, the appetites of your little young sinners. They are fleshly. They are carnal. They are undone. They're just like you. And you have to try to, number one, be that godly mother and then raise these little hellions, if you will. Yeah, thank you for laughing. I got fired for that 21 years ago. But nonetheless, here's the point, church. They are fighting their sin nature the same as you are. And you're trying to raise them in a way that would bring honor and glory to God. And that's part of the framework, is their sin nature. Years ago, Benjamin and Molly and I were on a camping trip, the first and last camping trip that the Keeses took. And that wasn't on purpose, it just kind of happened. But Benjamin, all of 8 years old or so, had had a hamburger. I think we'd eaten fish, we'd had chips, 3 or 4 or 5 Mountain Dews. Yeah, we were on camp, it's vacation. Let the kid drink a soda. So what, it's 10 o'clock at night. He's in another tent. Now, I'm kidding. Watch this. He had done all that, and he turns to me. I'm hungry. I looked at that little plump boy, and I listed everything he had eaten. And he bowed his head and said, "Still hungry." The appetites of the flesh. And we had to deal with it. And I know what some of you did. You feed him? Of course I fed him. We were on vacation. Last frame side. You're a sinner. Every person under the sound of my voice, I find myself repeating this over and over and over because my dad repeated it. Church, you're a sinner by birth. You're a sinner by nature, and you're a sinner by choice. Every person under the sound of my voice, that's your situation. You're a sinner by birth, by nature, and by choice. Well, there we are. This godly mother trying to raise her children in a godly manner, and she's got the devil, the world, her flesh, and their flesh. That's a pretty bleak picture, is it not? So mothers, what do you need to hear today? I hope and pray you're listening. You're not alone. Point number one, you are not alone. You have your heavenly Father. God of heaven and earth is holding you in the palm of his hand. He loves you so much that his son died on the cross for you. He's given it all for you and will again. He is with you. He loves you. He died for you and saved you. He possesses you. In other words, his Holy Spirit is inside of you. He clarified here in Ephesians chapter 1. You and I are royal blue bloods. We are an heir to the throne. You today, moms, you are in the lineage of Christ, the Son of God. He's given you a purpose. There is no higher calling for the mom than to raise godly children in a way that would bring glory and honor to God. Your earthly mother and father, you're not alone because of them as well. I realize that I'm speaking to a crowd of people that you may or may not be able to say, yes, I have a godly mom and father example. With that said, my heart goes out to you. I don't know where I would be without that, but I know this. God has placed people in your life who have acted, if you will, as godly moms and dads. And I believe that that's God showing you how to do it. And he's undergirding you with those examples. Now watch this. Those people that have not had godly moms and dads, they would tell those of us that have, be grateful. Be thankful. Tell them thank you and the such. We need to realize what a heritage that is. And watch this, for every mom and dad in here that does not have a godly mom and dad, you need to now start that heritage for your children to be that godly mom and dad. So that your children can say, wow, they didn't have what I had. I had a mom and dad that loved me enough to drag me to church. Folks, that's love. It don't seem like love when you're kicking and screaming going to church, but it's love. I promise you. You've got to love them enough to do what's best for them, maybe not what they want to do. You had the earthly support of your mom and dad. Your earthly husband, hopefully, is a support for you. What is the biblical design of marriage? Oneness. You are not alone. How about your friends? Brother Todd has already hit on it. Dawn wants me to express to you, and she can certainly do it herself, but she asked me to do it. She felt the prayers of this church. She felt the strength that comes from knowing that you're supported in prayer. Remember, it's the most you can do. And I shared this with the first service. I'll share it with you very quickly. This is a failure of Brother Ben's. In the first service last week, before it started, my wife said, please ask the church to pray for graduation. She said this first, all failures are prayer failures, Ben. Please ask the first service to pray for me. I forgot. Yeah, it wasn't funny, Melissa. When the wife's waiting for me at this door, it was not funny. I said, babe, I'm so sorry. Praise God, we have two services. I'll make it right. You know what she said? Real spiritual, right? Forget it. Forget it. She's mad now. You know, understandably so. But in my heart, I'm thinking, all right, bub, this is your opportunity. Do the right thing. Second service, guess what happened? I forgot. Yeah, oh, I know. Third service, meaning 6:30 p.m. Last chance. Good crowd last week. Good Sunday night crowd. I begged them, please pray for my wife. And we prayed for many things that were listed that night. Folks, you're not alone. Please, mothers, allow that to encourage you. Number two, you are not without direction. Now, before I leave that other point, I left out to probably D and E. Your church and your mothers before you, you're not alone. So point number two, you are not without direction. You've got the internal Holy Spirit. You have the external Word of God. You've got relationally the church of God. You are not without direction. Church, this is how it works. The Holy Spirit speaks to you. You might say, Brother Ben, I'm really struggling with that. The only way that I have seen to fix that is to seek God in His Word and ask Him to speak to you. And as your ear becomes sensitive to the Scripture of God, who wrote the Holy Spirit? Or who wrote the Word of God? The Holy Spirit. As you familiarize yourself with His book, He will speak to you. Then the Word of God itself will speak clearly and plainly to you. And relationally, you'll walk into this church and say, God, I need a word. And you watch the Holy Spirit work through your Sunday school teacher, work through your friends, work through the songs that Mandy has picked out per the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and listen to God's Word. And you'll walk out of here, I know what I need to do. I know what I need to do. Point number three, you are making a difference. Now, I gave this disclaimer. I am the uncle of three handicapped children, so you know I have a very, very soft spot for those that do not seem or look or act normal. With that said, I see the word normal in quotations anymore. You know, who's to determine what that is? In God's eyes, these kids are normal. All right, in my humble opinion, He loves them just the way they are. Now watch this. But some of the things I'm fixing to say, that's this area, if you will, is excluded because they do have difficulties walking. They do have difficulties. So I'm talking about the children, your children, that do not have physical handicaps. And this is under the point, you are making a difference. Can your children walk? It's because of you. Can they feed themselves nominally? That's because of you. Should have been some laughter there. Can they talk? That's because of you. Can they brush their teeth? That's because of you. Now, this group in this time of millennia knows that we had the beginning of TV to help us raise our children. Whether that was good or not, we can debate. But do you guys remember a big purple dinosaur named Barney? Yeah, I'm glad you've had the same experience I had. The toothbrush song, I hated this, but yet it was used. And for a while, they brushed their teeth, and they used this song. Can they problem solve? Can they fill in the blank? Anything positive, anything skill-driven, you probably had a hand in it. Everyone that attends this church and comes to a business meeting, you know that this church takes good care of its staff. So, I am paid well. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb. But just about any job in this area, when your children go to college, it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a financial struggle. And I told my children raising up, I will do my best to help you, but you're going to have to help yourself too. When Molly was somewhere in the 8th or 9th grade, we were leaving a piano practice, a certain ride home from piano, and I would guess Molly was in the 8th or 9th grade. She wanted to quit. I challenged her that the only reason she wanted to quit was because it was hard and distasteful, and that was not a good reason to quit, because the end result of the hard and distasteful work was the ability to play the piano at a high level, which very few people could do, and it would be a sought-after skill. I challenged her to challenge herself and not to give in to laziness. Now, that was my part. Took all of a minute, maybe a minute and a half to say that. You know what Dawn did? She sat by her every day for years and prodded and encouraged and listened. She didn't have to do that. You don't have to do that to be a godly mother. I'm telling you, though, she did that. And as a result, Molly was able to go to a school and scholarships pretty well paid the way. You're making a difference, moms. You're making a difference. You're sitting at those little league ball practices. You're not doing that because you're watching the next Ozzie Smith. You're doing that because you love your children. You're making a difference. And while you're there, you're talking about your church. You're talking about your Lord. You're talking about your family. You're making a difference. And fill in the blank. Whatever it is that you do to support your children, you're making a difference. Give yourself permission to fail. Forgive yourself and do better the next time. A woman after God's own heart does the right thing after she's done the wrong thing. Yes, your greatest need, in my opinion, is security. And yes, no one on this planet can meet that need for you but Jesus. And He came to this planet to provide that need for you with His finished work on the cross. Now, I don't know if you can tell, but we're real close to the end. If you're feeling insecure, moms, or insignificant, you must ask yourself the question, why? And when the answer comes, I'm not satisfied with my job. I'm not satisfied with my relationship with my husband. I'm not satisfied in my relationship with my children. I'm not satisfied with my relationship with my family. You must ask yourself the question, why is my relationship with Christ not enough to get me to the point that I quit putting pressure on all these other relationships? Is my life Christ-centered? Is Christ's glory my passion? My security comes from those two truths being realized. Now, mothers, the point to this message was to encourage you. Thus the question, what do mothers need to hear today? But I'm curious in your heart of hearts, is there a difference between the godly mother that I framed in the beginning of the message and who you truly are? I'm asking you to determine that. And then ask yourself this question. Am I happy? Am I experiencing joy? Am I accomplishing what God has called me? And if you are looking to this world for your security and significance, then I know what the answer to that question is that I'm asking you. And I'm asking you to change today. I'm asking you to become that godly mother that God has called you to be. I know you desire it, and God wants it, but you just have to submit to Him. Now, I'm going to be straight up honest with you. You could change all of those words where it says mother. You could change that to father. You could change it to believer. Yes, these are just simple biblical principles. But watch this. Moms, the reality remains. Todd alluded to it earlier. There's not a person in this building that would be here without a mother. That is an absolute designation that nobody else gets. Fathers can't say that type of thing. I know we had a part. Trust me, I know my biology. Watch this, guys. Somebody had to carry that person. And moms were designated to do that. Moms, we celebrate you today, but the greatest way to encourage you is to point you to the cross and to ask you to live your life for the glory of His name. Let's stand. Musicians, will you come? Every head bowed, every eye closed. One of the most startling realities of our world is that we're not promised tomorrow. Whether you're a mom or a woman, a girl, a father, a man, a boy. You're here today and you have a sin debt. And you're either someone who has dealt with that sin debt by asking Christ to forgive your sins, to come to your heart and be your Savior, or you're someone who has not yet dealt with that sin debt. If you're in the latter, if you've never yet dealt with that sin debt, this is an invitation. We're inviting you to come. I know that it's a little awkward. I realize that. Can't imagine how awkward it was for Christ to die on the cross for our sins. So if you'll take that first step, I know the Holy Spirit will help you with the rest. Maybe there's a friend sitting or standing next by you. Maybe they'll come with you. And we'll send you as someone gender appropriate and they'll share the gospel with you. There would be no greater thing to celebrate Mother's Day than somebody come to Christ. Some mom, some daughter, some son, some father. It is why we exist. We exist to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I shared that gospel during Sunday school hour with a young man. I'm asking you, church, to ask God to help this young man understand. And when the Holy Spirit calls him, for him to respond in faith and to be saved. I'm hoping that VBS will be used in this particular situation, whatever the case may be. Church, that ought to be a prayer that we relish to join in on. It ought to be a prayer that we put in our phones, that we write on our... If we're going to say that we are committed to the gospel, then we need to be committed to the gospel. Father, we just ask you to do your will and way today. Encourage our mothers. What a framework, Father, that we live in. Just as that mom is lovingly challenged from you and your word to be that godly mother in that framework, I am facing the same challenge to be that godly father, that godly husband. I beg your strength. I beg your direction. Father, change us to look more like you. I pray, Father, that revival will start in this invitation as we give up on all of our opinions, we give up on all of our thinkings, and we just come to you and say, here am I, Lord, send me. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. Will you come? Maybe you just want to come today and thank God for your mom. Maybe you want to come today and pray for your mom. Just as